When Garrett Beckner was 37 years old, he started having chest pains.
And I remember going to the doctor and getting that checked out because they looked at me, they said, hey, you're almost 40, type 2 diabetic, sedentary office job. Let's check your heart out.
Beckner says at the time, he was a pretty typical office worker in Austin, Texas, with his, quote, butt glued to a chair at least 8 hours a day. He says he hiked some on weekends with his wife and baby daughter, and his type 2 diabetes was well controlled, but yeah, he did a whole lot of sitting around.
So they gave me the stress test, they gave me all of the, you know, different diagnostics and looked at my heart. I had no issues. They said my heart was perfect. They ended up referring me to a gastroenterologist who diagnosed me with acid reflux. That's where my chest pain was coming from. So at least as recent as 2017, I know that my heart was in good condition.
He had no reason to believe that had changed when 2020 rolled around and a novel coronavirus moved into town.
When that first panic set in, I remember those first probably 4 weeks or so when people, we just didn't know enough about it and people were spraying Lysol on their groceries and we were all kind of going nuts about it.
The Beckners had what Garrett describes as a strong, reinforced bubble that included other COVID-conscious people. Their daughter did go to daycare, but it was an in-home situation with other people in their bubble. They made it through the first year of brutal COVID waves unscathed. But like for most of us, the coronavirus eventually caught up with them.
We'd moved to San Antonio in October of 2021. We wanted to kind of be closer to family. We were kind of chasing a dream. Anyway, we moved here and we couldn't find an in-home daycare. So we had to bring our daughter to one of the larger, you know, it's one of those places that's got multiple rooms, multiple classes. And within a week, we had brought COVID home. My daughter, of course, she shrugged it off. You know, she had a fever for a few days, sniffles for a week, and then it was like it never happened. My wife had a little bit of a rougher time. She had about a week and a half where she was really, really sick, but then she bounced back. For me, it was not like that at all. It was a much, clearly still an ongoing story.
Beckner developed long COVID, and while trying to uncover the causes of his multiple debilitating symptoms, his doc sent him, again, to a cardiologist.
And they said, all right, we'll do the full workup, kind of similar to what I had done years prior. Only this time I couldn't make it through the stress test. I couldn't even get through it. And so that's when they said, hey, we're going to have to actually put a little camera in there, poke around and kind of see what's going on in your heart. They scheduled that for a week later. And I remember distinctly waking up after the procedure they put you under to kind of put the camera in and look around. And I remember the guy who did the diagnostics, I just remember seeing his face as soon as I woke up and he was like, you have 3 clogged arteries. We're going to have to get you to a specialist.
But wait, he was only 42. And when he had that cardiac workup back in 2017, he got a clean bill of health. This couldn't be right, but it was.
And so got referred to a cardiac surgeon within a week. And then literally 7 days after that consult, I was in surgery. I'd had 3 arteries on the left side that were basically completely blocked. And if they didn't get me into surgery for bypass, inevitable heart attack. It was a matter of time. My heart was a proverbial ticking time bomb.
In just a few years, this reasonably young man's heart had gone from healthy to a potential cause of sudden death. What happened? Did COVID harm his heart? From Texas Public Radio, this is Petri Dish. I'm Bonnie Petri.
Support for Petri Dish is made possible by UT Health San Antonio, committed to transforming the health of the community through a team that tackles problems from every angle, doing everything it takes to bring each patient the best possible outcomes, from teaching tomorrow's healthcare leaders to translating research into new treatments. UT Health San Antonio strives to make lives better. Learn more at everythingittakes.org.
At 42, Garrett Beckner had a triple bypass.
There's no real preparation you can put yourself through to make yourself ready for those kinds of changes to your health and to your entire life. It's not dissimilar from any other of those massive life changes where you just know, like, well, things are different now. I'm different. The way that I move about in the world is going to have to be different. My goals are going to have to be different. Yeah, it's rough.
The average age of people who have coronary artery bypass surgery in the United States is 66.
I was lucky in that I was a very young cardiac patient, which was very surprising to all the people in the programs I was in. I was always by far the youngest patient they'd seen. Not really the badge of honor I wanted, but pretty much everybody remarked on it. They were like, "You're the youngest person I've seen with this issue." I was like, "Well, is there a prize for this? Because I feel like I'm not being properly compensated."
So considering Beckner's age and his clean pre-pandemic cardiac workup, did COVID cause this?
Yeah, that was my first question after everything had kind of settled and I got back into a rhythm of seeing my neurologist who had been focusing on those long COVID issues. My first thought was, are these connected? Because you can't discount the possibility that you could have more than one thing wrong with you, right? They may not necessarily be, correlation's not causation. The virus may not have caused it. But I think in my particular case, when you look at my medical history and you look at the diagnostics that were done, it's pretty clear my heart was fine before I contracted it.
So it is possible that that was all due to COVID.
Beckner's conclusion made sense to me, but I'm a journalist, uniquely unqualified to make such a diagnosis, so I reached out to someone who is qualified. Dr. Dara Lee Lewis is a cardiologist and teaches first-year medical students at Harvard about cardiology.
It's also possible that 3 years had passed and this is a person with risk factors and that he developed blockages.
To be clear, Lewis is not Beckner's doctor, and all she really knows about his case is what I've told her, that 3 years before the pandemic, he had a cardiac workup and his heart was fine. Then he got COVID and his heart was not fine. So she's not speaking to his case specifically, but about cases like this generally.
If you do a stress test, for example, in somebody who has no symptoms, and you're just doing a screening stress test in somebody with risk factors but no known disease, if they have a negative stress test, that doesn't mean they don't even have any disease at all. It means they don't have 75% narrowing in their arteries. So, like, I'm just going to show you a little artery.
So Dr. Lewis and I are on Zoom, and so she picks up a model of coronary arteries that's helpfully perched there on her desk. One of them appears to be quite clogged.
So artery starts to build up with plaque. And when it gets to be about 75% blocked, then we're going to see symptoms. We're going to see positive stress tests. But it's possible, you know, he had 40% blockage 3 years ago, and then now he's got 75%. And that legitimately, he had a normal stress test back then. 3 years go by with a lot of stress, because certainly haven't we all been stressed? Perhaps high blood pressure, perhaps diabetes are contributing, and now this happens. So option A happens to be a coincidence. Option B is that COVID accelerated that. So COVID, by virtue of it causing more inflammation in the heart arteries, we now know that this process in the arteries where it clogs is largely inflammation. You know, it's cholesterol, it's calcium, it's a lot of things, but it's inflammation that drives this plaque buildup. So certainly possible that it accelerated because of the COVID.
Because COVID sometimes seems to kick pre-existing conditions into overdrive. As long COVID doctor Monica Verduzco Gutierrez described it to me early in the pandemic, COVID turns the amplifier on.
That is probably the best description. And that's funny. That's kind of how I've thought of it as well, as of the old Spinal Tap, turn it up to 11. That's kind of how I feel COVID operates. It clearly, if you've got any kind of systemic inflammation issues, whether that's caused from, you know, chronic illnesses or not, it seems like it's lighter fluid on a fire.
So let's talk about the heart, inflammation, and COVID, Dr. Lewis.
So it causes inflammation all over the body. When it causes inflammation in the heart muscle, that's myocarditis. When it causes inflammation in the lining of the heart, that's what we call pericarditis. So itis being inflammation. When it causes inflammation in the blood vessels, can cause blood clots and heart attacks. So it can cause a myriad of problems in the heart. So when we say the heart, you know, are we talking about arrhythmias? Are we talking about sudden death? Are we talking about heart failure? Are we talking about heart attacks? All those things. Yes. The answer is yes.
And with COVID, we really are talking about all these things, aren't we?
Yeah, unfortunately, we are.
Tell me more about that.
Okay, so COVID can invade the actual heart muscles themselves. And I guess that's really, myocarditis is probably the big problem that we worry about with COVID, is that when it causes inflammation in the heart muscle cells themselves, it can cause sort of a swelling in the heart muscle, which can weaken the heart so it doesn't squeeze well, and that would be heart failure. And it can also cause abnormalities in the electrical system of the heart, which can cause sudden cardiac death or arrhythmias. Myocarditis, usually people recover fully. Some people don't even know they had it unless they happen to get an MRI or a blood test. But I would say myocarditis is sort of an iceberg, and most people are below the ocean, you know, have a mild case and recover. And the people who have it in a very severe way can end up in the hospital, can end up with arrhythmias, can end up with permanent damage to their heart where the heart is weak forever. So big spectrum, a spectrum of disease.
Myocarditis is almost always caused by a viral infection like COVID, and COVID is no exception. It definitely causes myocarditis. It is a well-known and potentially deadly complication of this virus. However, we usually hear about myocarditis these days in the context of the vaccine.
Certainly, no one is disputing that the vaccine can cause myocarditis. That is proven, especially in young men in their teenager years and early 20s. So probably threefold risk of myocarditis in young men who've had the vaccine compared to young men who did not recently get the vaccine. So like in the weeks or so after the vaccine, no question about it. However, COVID itself can cause myocarditis at 18-fold the risk of someone who doesn't have COVID. So you got to weigh the risks and benefits of getting the vaccines.
So myocarditis is much more common in people who've been infected with the virus than people who've gotten the vaccine.
I know there's a lot of people who rightly believe that the vaccine could cause problems. That's not wrong. That is true. But the problem is COVID can cause worse problems. So when it comes just to myocarditis, the risk of myocarditis from not having the vaccine and getting a bad case of COVID is much greater and tends to be a worse case of myocarditis and is more common than for people who got the vaccine. So the vaccine-induced myocarditis tends to be mild and short-lived, and people tend to recover, whereas the myocarditis you get from the actual illness of COVID itself can be much more severe.
But when you're hanging out somewhere like, you know, Twitter, and someone, maybe somewhat famous, maybe not, but someone relatively young dies suddenly with no obvious cause, a whole bunch of bots and some actual people start clamoring about the COVID vaccine causing sudden death. So what do you say to that?
I say stay off Twitter, but that, if you, yeah, no, I think I'm glad people are being skeptical and discerning. That's healthy. And so I don't blame people for jumping to conclusions. There have always been people who mistrust government-sanctioned things, and it's reasonable. However, we're just not seeing it. Like, if you actually look at the numbers, and you actually look at the ones who had an autopsy, and you looked at what was the cause of death, and you look at the timing to their vaccine, yes, yeah, so COVID vaccine does raise the risk of myocarditis, which can raise the risk of an arrhythmia and sudden death, for sure. But it's like on the order of tiny number of people compared to the number of people who had COVID and got myocarditis and had sudden death. So Twitter will be Twitter, but that's not substantiated by the data.
Okay, so I've done some reading about asymptomatic myocarditis, so people who've had this inflammation of the heart and never really had any symptoms, right? They didn't know they had it, and they may not have even known they'd had COVID. And I wonder if some of these sudden deaths, and I want to stress again that this doesn't happen very often, but I do wonder, could some of them be related to either mild or even asymptomatic myocarditis? And can you even, you know, study asymptomatic myocarditis?
So they have studied that. So, for example, a lot of this came out early on with college athletes. And I believe there was a study in Germany where there was some high profile case where some athlete had COVID and dropped dead or something like that. And so it led people to say, OK, we can't have our college athletes dying. They started doing MRIs and checking an enzyme called troponin on every athlete who had COVID to see what's the incidence of an elevation in this troponin enzyme that is released when the muscle cells die. So it's a good sign of myocarditis. And then putting monitors on people and seeing if they had these sort of preliminary preview arrhythmias and putting people through the MRI. And they found kind of a high number of people who had inflammation on their MRI that suggested myocarditis. And early on, everyone was very nervous, like, oh, this is going to turn into a disaster. These are just the athletes. What about everybody else? But it turned out that most of those people who had asymptomatic myocarditis, so you're talking about people who actually feel okay, but the troponin might be elevated. That's the enzyme elevated. The MRI might show inflammation. The EKG and the monitor might show some little beginnings of arrhythmias. Turns out the vast majority of those recovered fully and went on to be fine. So it was not kind of the beginning of the end for this. So yes, I think a lot of us do have asymptomatic myocarditis and we get over it and we're fine. But I suspect that those sudden cardiac deaths are related probably to myocarditis in a lot of cases.
Okay, well, that makes me worry about this population of, you know, young, healthy men who may have never known they even had myocarditis walking around now with this risk factor for arrhythmia or cardiac arrest. Should we be, you know, running some tests on them or something?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And I say this partly as the parent of a 15-year-old boy. So even as a, you know, anxious mother, I'd say no. Because if they did have myocarditis and recovered, we know that the prognosis is excellent, even if they did have myocarditis. So they didn't all have myocarditis. Some of them maybe did. If they flew under the radar, meaning they weren't having fainting spells, they weren't having palpitations, they weren't having fluid buildup, they felt fine, they recovered. A, chances are they didn't have myocarditis, or if they did, it was a super mild case. And B, that they fully recovered and the inflammation is gone. So no, I don't think we need to feel like these young men are at some high risk of sudden cardiac death, that we need to go doing MRIs on them. Because, you know, what's the most invasive thing you could do to find out? An MRI, right? And that experiment's been done, and we can feel pretty good about it. It's been done in competitive athletes who then went on to compete strenuously, which is something that puts people at super high risk for sudden death. So no, I don't think we need to do anything differently unless people are having symptoms that would suggest that they had some permanent damage to their heart. They're getting swelling in their legs, they're having trouble breathing, they can't exercise. Then I would definitely work that person up aggressively. But for the 99.99% of young men who are back to regular activity feeling fine, no, like eat healthy, get some sleep, do your exercise, and let me know if there's a problem. Check your blood pressure, check your cholesterol, you know, don't smoke. But those things are going to have a much huger impact than, you know, doing MRIs on every man between the age of 15 and 22.
What about men like Garrett Beckner who are, you know, hovering around 40 and think that their hearts are fine, but they're actually not? And then there's the rest of us. How do we know if our hearts are okay post-COVID? We'll ask Dr. Daryl Lee Lewis about all that when Petri Dish continues.
Support for TPR comes from the University of Texas at San Antonio's Brain Health Consortium, a pioneering research hub advancing neuroscience, neuroengineering, precision medicine, and more. Learn more at utsa.edu/BHC.
Welcome back to Petri Dish. I'm Bonnie Petrie. Aaron Beckner is recovering well from the triple bypass he had at 42.
So the prognosis for my heart is good. They were able to fix all of the issues they found. I'm still, you know, I'm a cardiac patient for life now, so there's a regimen of drugs I have to be on. And, you know, I have to have regular cardiac checkups. That's the biggest change since then, is just one more doctor in the list of doctors I have to see and one more thing to kind of keep an eye on.
The scary thing is that Beckner didn't suspect he had life-threatening blockages in his coronary arteries at all. They were found during a series of tests he was getting to understand the long COVID symptoms he was experiencing. So that makes me wonder how many people are just sort of walking around with blockages they don't know about, but they need addressed stat before they drop dead.
So, again, we want to know what the pretest probability is for everybody walking around. So somebody who is a 40-year-old woman who has, her parents are still alive in their 90s, and she's not a smoker, she's not a diabetic, no blood sugar, but she had COVID, you know, 3 months ago. I'm not worried about her. She's, you know, exercising and feeling great. On the other hand, a 40-year-old man who is diabetic, and both his parents had heart attacks when they were 40, and he's burning the candle at both ends, and he had COVID a month ago. I'm worried about him, not because of COVID, but I'm worried about him because he is a ticking time bomb and he's got to do something to lower his risk. So even without symptoms, I think we can get a good sense of what is somebody's risk. You know, they have these risk calculators. You can plug them in, they're online, they're public. You put in your age, your gender, whether you're diabetic, whether you have high blood pressure, whether you're a smoker, various things like that, and it'll calculate in the next 10 years, your risk of having a heart attack is XYZ. COVID doesn't factor into that. Maybe they'll change the calculator down the road and put it in. But right now, the real big risk factors are definitely the ones that are easily measurable. And then we can identify who we do need to focus on. Those people need more attention. They need more counseling. They need more workup. And then the ones who are at low risk, we don't need to bother them. But everybody should be counseled on healthy lifestyle.
That brings me to something I've been wondering about for a while. Should COVID factor into your risk? If you've had COVID-19, should that now be counted as a risk factor for developing heart disease?
I think the jury's out on that one. Not necessarily. I think 3 years ago, I might have said, maybe. And now I would say, you know, we're not seeing this explosion of heart disease, but should we be aware? Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I mean, maybe there's lots of risk factors that are super risk factors. Smoking, very worrisome. Getting older, definitely a risk factor. Like diabetes, huge risk factor. COVID, probably one of the milder ones. Mild kidney failure, mild one. South Asian ancestry, probably a mild risk factor. Like there's a lot of risk factors. Some are huge and some are minor. I'd say it's probably a minor one.
Are there some tests that should be added to whatever panel of blood work people get at their annual checkups to see if they're at risk for post-COVID problems, specifically heart problems?
So definitely cholesterol. And then something called CRP, which is C-reactive protein, which is a marker of inflammation. Those two are good predictors. Beyond that, probably not simple blood tests that would be worth checking in the general population. There are panels for what we call hypercoagulability, which is, do you have either an acquired or an inherited tendency to make blood clots more than other people? Regardless of COVID, there's certain proteins and clotting factors that we test for if someone's had weird patterns of clotting and bleeding. But in terms of general population, you should definitely get your cholesterol checked. And most people should definitely have a CRP checked at least once in their lifetime.
All right. I sent you a link to a panel of tests that anyone can order online that claims to detect long COVID and other post-COVID health problems if you don't mind spending $750. Is it worth it? Should folks invest in something like that?
You know, a lot of those tests are unnecessary. I mean, some of them are part of the general panel anyway. We check kidney, we check liver, we check electrolytes. But then there's tests on there for like 10 different inflammatory markers. Some of them correlate to heart disease, some don't. Then there's tests for like vitamin D. Yeah, we should all get our vitamin D, probably keep that in a good range. But BNP, for example, it tests, that's a test for whether you have congestive heart failure and too much fluid. Like that I wouldn't check on just anybody. I would check if I'm examining someone, I hear fluid in their lungs, they're getting edema, their veins are distended in their neck, then I would check that. But I think we get into a lot of trouble by casting these wide nets and checking 50 tests. And then what do we do with it, right? So I don't recommend people go testing all these things unless there's a particular reason, in which case someone should focus in on that particular reason.
In Garrett Beckner's case, the particular reason was long COVID, which he still has even after his triple bypass. While we were talking, I asked him, you know, how after all of these challenges and still being sick, how does he feel about his future?
Oh boy, that's a heavy question. I have hopes. I hope that the medical community is able to, you know, get the support they need to really start figuring out the root problems that this virus causes and how we can develop more effective treatments for it. And that, you know, that trickles down to me and that hopefully I'm able to recover and one day get back to some semblance of normal life. I feel like I'm kind of in my peak years. This is typically when people are, you know, at their busiest, raising kids, investing themselves in a career. And I'm pretty sidelined right now. I have to just focus on what am I doing today? How can I be a good partner? How can I be a good parent? And how I can take care of myself, making sure that my own health is my priority. And that's pretty much what I have to do is just look at the next day and hope that things are better.
I do think we need to take as good care of ourselves as we can, because A, we want to prevent COVID in the first place, which is the best thing we can do, by keeping our immune system super healthy and strong and avoiding unnecessary exposure. And then if we do get COVID, keeping an eye out for things that could indicate heart involvement, pain in the chest, difficulty breathing, fluid building up on the body, and then seeking medical attention for that right away. But I don't think we all need to walk around in terror that we're all going to drop dead, because I really don't think that's going to happen.
I hope not. Thank you, Dr. Dara Lee Lewis. And thank you, Garrett Beckner, so very much for sharing your story with us. We wish you well. Episode of Petri Dish was produced by Jacob Rosati, TPR Vice President of News Dan Katz, and me. It was edited by Yvette Benavides. I wrote the show, and Jacob Rosati composed all the music and created the sound design. Petri Dish is a production of Texas Public Radio. I'm Bonnie Petrie. Talk to you soon.